Welcome to Alarion, a realm shaped by shattered ages and rising legends, part of StoryOmniverse.com. This tale is titled The Black Flower Ledger. The winds of magic stir, the dragons awaken, and the story begins. Chapter 1. The Page That Would Not Stay Blank. I woke to the sound of water chewing wood. Hollow Root always speaks like that, even when it is calm. Stilts creak, reed ropes sigh. The swamp hushes itself, then starts whispering again. But this morning, the noise felt aimed at me, as if the mire had learned my name and wanted to test it between its teeth. I sat up too fast and tasted iron, not blood, fear. There was a hole in my mind. Not the harmless kind that forgets a market list, but the kind that swallows a whole day and leaves the edges smooth, as if it had been there forever. I pressed my fingers to my temple and found nothing to grip. A name rose on my tongue like a bubble from deep mud. Nivra, I said aloud, and the sound made my stomach fold. I did not know why. My diary lay open on my lap, though I did not remember fetching it. The page was blank. The inkpot beside me was stoppered. My quill was clean. It looked staged, like a shrine to silence. No, I whispered, and dipped the quill anyway. I wrote the date as best I could, though the numbers felt wrong in my hand. I wrote, "If I do not write this down, it will be taken too." The ink sank into the fibers, then seemed to pale, as if the paper drank it and forgot. I blinked hard. The words returned, darker. Still my skin went cold. So that was the rule then. The mire could swallow what I left loose in my head, and even ink was not safe unless I kept my eyes on it. If I stopped watching, it would fade. If I let myself drift, the page would go blank again. Writing was a kind of vigilance, and vigilance was already exhausting. A soft knock came from the slat door. Before I could answer, it eased open, and Vel of the Mire slipped inside, bringing fog with her like a shawl. She did not smile. Vel rarely did. Her eyes flicked to my page, then to my face. "You're awake," she said quietly. "I was awake yesterday too," I snapped, then hated the sound of my own voice. "I think. I do not know." Vel closed the door with care, as if the hinges could gossip. "Memory drakes have been circling the still tones, low and close. Not hunting fish, hunting minds." My throat tightened. "That is a children's warning. Stay inside or the drake will steal your bedtime story." Vel's gaze sharpened. "Missing memories are never an accident." I looked down at my page again, at the way the ink had tried to fade. "Then why do I have a name in my mouth that I cannot place?" Vel stepped nearer and lowered her voice until it was almost part of the swamp's own murmur. "Because someone wanted you to wake up with it, and because someone wanted you to wake up missing everything else." Outside, something winged brushed past the window slat. A faint chiming followed, like crystals tapping together. Vel's hand hovered near her belt, where her small knife slept. "Do not go walking alone today," she said. "If a drake took something from you, it did not do it for sport." "And if it was not a drake?" I asked. Vel's eyes held mine. "Then it was someone who knows how to blame a drake." I wrote that down too, before the swamp could drink it.
Chapter 2. Mistcaller Nivra's Kind Invitation. By noon, the mire had decided my fear should have an audience. A runner from Nivra's circle found me on the plankway between homes, where the boards were slick with algae and old rain. He wore a black flower sigil on a cord at his throat. The symbol was simple, almost pretty, if you ignored what it meant in Hollow Root. "The unseen root feeds all. The unseen root also wraps and squeezes. Mistcaller Nivra summons you," he said with the practiced gentleness of a hand closing around a throat. Beneath the sigil, Vel stood beside me, her posture loose, her eyes hard. "Why?" she asked. The runner's smile did not move his eyes. "Concern, a kindness. There are rumors of drakes." "Concern is never free," Vel murmured. "I should have listened. but the name on my tongue pulled like a hook. Nivra. Nivra. If I was missing a day, perhaps she held it in her palm.
I'll go, I said. Val's fingers caught my sleeve. Do not promise anything in that chamber, she said. Not even with your silence.
Under the black flower sigil, the air smelled of crushed herbs and swamp gas burned clean.
Nivra's chamber was half open to the fog, as if she trusted it more than walls.
Lanterns of pale fungus glowed along the beams, giving her attendants a ghost-like look. Mistcaller Nivra sat on a low dais of lacquered rootwood. Dark tendrils braided through her hair, the way some people braid ribbon, the way some people braid snares. Her eyes were bright, wet green, the color of new growth on a dead log. She rose when I entered.
Come closer, she said, and her voice was soft enough to be called mercy.
You look as though you've been walking in circles. I stopped at the edge of the lantern light.
I woke missing time.
Nivra's expression shifted, quick as a ripple. Not surprise. Recognition, carefully hidden.
How painful, she murmured. The mire can be cruel.
The mire is not cruel, I said before I could stop myself.
People are.
Her attendants went still.
Nivra only smiled, a patient curve. People can be taught.
Sit. Let me ease your worry. I did not come for ease, I said. I came for answers.
Then we are alike. Nivra's hands folded. Her nails were stained black, as if she handled ink more than soil.
Tell me, when you woke, what was the first thing you tasted? Fear? Salt? A name?
Heat crawled up my neck.
Nivra. As if I had recited a lesson correctly. Good. You are not entirely unmoored.
Vel's warning echoed in my head. But Vel was not here, only Nivra, and my own hunger to fill the hole.
Nivra leaned forward. There is a fugitive secret loose in Hollowroot. It fled its rightful keeper. It has been damaging. I need a steady hand to retrieve it.
A secret, I repeated. You speak like secrets are animals.
They are, Nivra said. They bite, they breed, they drown you if you let them.
And you want me to catch it? I said slowly.
Why me? Nivra's gaze warmed, like a lantern turned toward my face.
Because you have already been touched by theft, because you will understand the urgency, and because, if you retrieve it, I will help you recover what was taken from you.
My chest tightened.
You can do that?
I can guide you, she said, and the word guide felt like a net sinking over my shoulders. The memory drakes do not circle without reason.
Someone has been careless with echoes.
I swallowed. What do you want me to do?
Nivra's smile deepened, almost tender. Bring me the secret. Bring me the one who carries it if you must. And in return, I will return your missing hours.
I heard myself ask, who is the thief?
Nivra's eyes flicked to the fog beyond the beams.
A marsh shadow that thinks it can live without roots.
Old tales tried to rise in me, stories of reed masks and night thieves. I did not trust my mind enough to name them. I only felt the shape of fear.
Nivra rose and stepped close enough that I could smell the bitter sweetness of her herbs.
Say yes, she whispered, and you will not have to wake up empty again.
My need for answers tangled with my fear of becoming her tool.
Still, my mouth opened.
I will try, I said, and hated that it sounded like relief.
Nivra's hand brushed my wrist, light as mist.
Good, she said. Then we begin.
Chapter 3. Echo Crystals and a Stranger's Voice.
Nivra's attendants led me to the drake pens at the edge of Hollowroot, where the stilts sank deeper and the water turned black as steeped tea. The air here was colder, not from wind but from watching. A memory drake perched on a crossbeam above the water, small enough to be overlooked, too strange to be ignored. Its scales were dark and slick, and along its ribs and neck, echo crystals grew like barnacles, each one catching lantern light and breaking it into thin, trembling rainbows. The keeper, an older root-bound mystic with moss in his hair, bowed to me.
Do not touch without permission, he warned.
They remember more than you do.
I do not remember enough, I said.
The drake tilted its head.
Its eyes were pale and reflective, like moonlight on still water. It clicked its jaw once, and the crystals chimed in response.
Nivra's runner stood behind me, silent as a threat.
I lifted my hand slowly, palms open.
May I? I asked the drake, feeling foolish.
To my shock, it hopped closer along the beam,
then leaned down until its crystals hovered within reach. The air around them hummed, like a held breath.
When my fingertips touched the nearest crystal, the world tilted.
Sound rushed in first, not from the pen, but from somewhere inside my skull.
A voice spoke, ragged with panic.
Run, it begged.
Run before she makes you thank her.
My heart slammed.
The voice sounded like mine. I jerked my hand back, but the echo clung, trailing through me like swamp weed. The drake clicked again, and an image flickered across the crystal surface.
Not a clear vision. A smear of movement through fog. A figure in a dark reed mask, eyes like pinpricks of starlight.
The runner behind me shifted.
What did you see?
He asked. I kept my face blank.
Fog.
Mistcaller Nivra expects honesty.
Nivra. The name struck again, and with it a flare of anger so sudden it made my hands shake. Someone had taken my time, my choices, my own thoughts. Someone had left me with a warning in my own voice.
The keeper watched me carefully.
The drake shows what it has collected, he said. Not always what you want.
I want the thief, I said.
The drake's crystals chimed, and the blurred masked face returned, clearer now.
The mask had a thin cut along the cheek, like a scar turned into ornament.
I had seen that cut before, hadn't I?
A name surfaced. Not never this time.
Slinkroot, a marsh mask thief who moved through Hollow Root like a rumor.
Patient and deadly. Loyal to Nivra's circle only when it suited him.
I turned to the runner.
Tell Nivra I will bring her the fugitive secret, I said.
And I know where to start.
His eyes narrowed.
Where?
In the shadows, I said. And I meant Slinkroot.
My mind latched onto him like a leech finding warm skin.
It was easier to hate a known shape than to stare into the empty hole and admit it might have been made by someone closer.
As I left the pen, the memory drake clicked softly behind me, almost like pity.
The echo of my own voice followed.
Run before she makes you thank her.
I wrote those words the moment I returned to my room, pressing hard enough to scar the page.
If the swamp tried to drink them, I would make it choke.
Chapter 4. The False Trail Through Bramble Fog.
The bramble fog begins where the plankways end. Beyond Hollow Root's last stilt home, thorned reeds knot together, and the air thickens until it feels like wading through wet cloth.
People say the fog is only water and rot. They lie. The fog has intent.
It presses into your ears and whispers that every footstep behind you is a knife.
I went anyway.
Vel met me at the edge, her hood up, her knife visible at her belt, like a warning made metal.
You did not tell me you were going, she said.
I did not want you to stop me, I replied.
I want you alive, she said, and the simplicity of it made my chest ache.
Who are you hunting?
Slinkroot.
Vel's eyes tightened.
That's convenient.
He wears a reed mask, I said.
The drake showed a cut along the cheek.
A mask is not a name, Vel snapped. Then softer. Fog makes liars of all of us.
We stepped into the bramble fog together. The world became close and muffled. Our breath sounded too loud.
Somewhere deeper, a duskworm exhaled, and mist rolled across the ground in a low wave.
I felt it crawl up my boots and into my thoughts.
Shadows in the fog stretched into figures, then collapsed back into reeds.
Every shape looked guilty.
Vel grabbed my wrist.
Do not stare too long, she warned. The mist makes patterns out of fear.
A movement flickered ahead, a dark outline, low and swift, slipping between brambles without a sound.
My anger surged, hot enough to cut through the cold.
There, I hissed.
I broke from Vel's grip and followed, pushing through wet thorns that snagged my sleeves.
The figure stopped in a pocket of clearer air, as if it had been waiting.
Slinkroot turned.
He was smaller than I expected,
wrapped in dark cloth that drank the little light there was. His mask was smooth, yes, but the cut along the cheek was real, a seam in the material. His eyes were flat and calm. "You've been sniffing for me," he said, voice like a blade drawn slowly from a sheath. I raised my hands, palms out, though I wanted to grab his throat. "You stole my memories." Slinkroot's head tilted. "Did I?" "The memory Drake showed you," I said. "A masked thief." "The Drake showed a mask," he corrected, "and you decided it must be mine." Vel emerged behind me, silent, her knife hand low. "Answer him," she said to Slinkroot, "or the fog will." Slinkroot's gaze flicked to Vel, then back. "If I had taken your hours, you would not remember enough to accuse anyone," he said. "Memory theft is not a rough sport. It is delicate." "Then why am I missing time?" I demanded. Slinkroot stepped closer, and I forced myself not to flinch. "Because you gave it away," he said, and his voice sharpened on the last word. "You traded it. You insisted." My stomach lurched. "I would not." Slinkroot's eyes narrowed. "You did, and you asked for it to be hidden in pages. Pages you keep close." Vel's breath hitched, small and betrayed. I stared at Slinkroot. "How would you know that?" His answer came like a stone dropped into water. "Because the one who did it told me to watch you afterward. To see if you broke." Nivra's kindness flashed in my mind, suddenly edged. My revenge, so neatly aimed, wavered. Slinkroot's voice lowered. "If you want the truth, stop chasing the easiest monster." The fog shifted. A duskworm's mist rolled again, and for a heartbeat, Nivra's black flower sigil seemed to bloom in the air itself. Vel's grip tightened on her knife. "Who told you?" she demanded. Slinkroot's gaze slid past us into the fog. "You already have her name on your tongue," he said. "Ask it why it tastes like ash." I had come to cut a throat with certainty. Instead, I stood shaking, forced to admit the blade had been pointed at the wrong shadow. Chapter 5. Elar the Suede and the Memory Vault. I did not sleep. When I closed my eyes, the fog returned, and with it Slinkroot's words. "You gave it away." By dawn, I went to the place people pretend does not exist. The memory vault is not marked on any plankway map. It sits half-sunken beyond the fungus lantern lines, where the swamp has swallowed old beings and left only their ribs. If you do not know the path, you will walk past it 100 times and call it another collapsed storehouse. That morning, the seasonal flood had begun to turn. The water tugging harder at the stilts, carrying last month's dead leaves in slow spirals. Hollowroot always felt most watchful when the flood shifted, as if the mire took attendance. Elar the Suede waited at the entrance, as if he had been expecting my footsteps in his bones. He was one of the root-bound, but unlike Nivra's polished grace, Elar looked grown wrong. Vines twined too tightly around his arms, as if trying to hold him together. His eyes shone with a feverish light, not loyalty. "You came," he said, smiling too wide. "Good. I have been itching to see what was taken from you." "I did not ask you to meet me," I said. "You did," Elar replied, cheerful as rot. "Not with your mouth, with your absence. Missing hours always call to me." Vel had refused to come. "I can't," she had said, voice tight. "If Nivra learns you're sniffing around the vault, she will prune us both." Fear had made her cruel, and it hurt more than I wanted to admit. So I stood alone with Elar, listening to water drip through broken roof slats, like a slow clock. "I want my memories," I said. "I want to know what I did." Elar's head bobbed. "Yes, yes, the echo crystals hold scraps, but decoding them is art." He touched his chest as if modest. "I can do it." "And the price?" I asked, because nothing in Hollowroot is free. Elar's smile softened into something almost tender. "A concession." My throat tightened. "About what?" He stepped closer, and the damp air carried the scent of crushed black flowers. "About why you are worth stealing from," he whispered. "About what you were trying to do before your mind went blank." I flinched, not from him, but from the way my own gut answered with guilt. Elar gestured, and I followed him down into the half-sunken chamber. The vault was lined with shelves of sealed jars, each holding a sliver of crystal. Each jar labeled in careful ink. Names,
dates, single words like betrayal, and mercy, and fire. Secrets stored like grain, waiting to be eaten. Elar knelt before a low basin filled with dark water.
Bring me your echo, he said. I do not have it, I snapped.
You do, he tapped my diary, tucked beneath my arm. Pages are vessels, and the mire is hungry. It will take what you do not pin down. My fingers tightened around the leather cover. If you touch this, I will drown you in that basin. Elar laughed softly. Good. You still have teeth. He pulled a small echo crystal from his sleeve, unmarked, and held it over the basin. Speak your confession, he said. Just one true thing you do not want written. The crystal likes what you try to hide. My mouth went dry. I saw Nivra's face. I saw Slinkroot's steady eyes. I saw Vel's fear. The confession rose like bile. If I wrote it, it would make me responsible for the loss I had blamed on others. I can't, I said. Elar's eyes gleamed. Then you do not want your memories. You want a villain. I hated him for how true it sounded. My quill hand trembled. Fine, I whispered. I wanted information that could hurt Nivra. Elar's smile turned hungry. Again, he coaxed. Deeper. The swamp outside sighed, as if leaning in to listen.
Chapter 6. The name I buried in myself. Elar's basin water did not ripple when the echo crystal touched it. It drank light instead, turning the chamber dimmer, as if we had stepped deeper underground. Hold the crystal, Elar said, and placed it in my palm. It was cold enough to sting. I wanted to throw it. I wanted to crush it. Instead, I held on, because the hole in my mind hurt worse than any cold. Elar crouched beside me, his voice a soft, eager thread. Let it show you, he murmured. Do not fight. Fighting smears the image. I'm not afraid, I lied. The crystal warmed. A sound rose, distant at first, then sharp. My own voice again, but calmer than the panicked echo from the Drake pen. Controlled. Trained. You promised, I heard myself say. Another voice answered, lower, trembling, a voice I recognized not with my ears, but with my ribs. Someone I had loved. The realization hit so hard, I sucked in breath. I promised you would stop, the other voice said. I promised you wouldn't become her. Nivra's chamber formed around the voices, in a haze of memory. Lantern fungus, rootwood beams, the black flower sigil hanging like a threat made pretty. I saw myself there, older by only a day, but different. My posture was straighter, my eyes were colder. Nivra stood behind me, one hand resting lightly on my shoulder, as if I were her favored blade. In the memory, the person facing me wore no mask, just exhaustion. Wet hair clung to their cheeks, their hands shook. I could not see their face clearly, as if my mind refused to sharpen it. But I saw one thing, sharp as a thorn, a small charm on a reed cord at their throat, a carved bit of driftbone shaped like a crescent. I remembered the feel of it between my teeth when I kissed them. I remembered the way they laughed when I stole it and pretended it was mine. Now it hung there like a marker on a grave I had not admitted to digging. You're asking me to betray her, I said in the echo memory. Do you know what she'll do to you? The other voice broke. I'm asking you to remember you were kind. Nivra's hand tightened on my shoulder. In the memory, I did not flinch. That was the cruelest part. Then I heard myself say it, the line that split my stomach open. I can trade you, I said. I can trade what I feel for what I need, just for a while. Elar's breath hitched beside me, delighted. In the memory, Nivra leaned close to my ear. Good, she whispered. Mercy makes you weak. Information makes you useful. I watched myself nod. Then the scene lurched. The echo memory blurred into the moment of consent. I saw my own hand open, offering something invisible. Love, doubt, the soft part of me that had resisted Nivra's net. In return, Nivra pressed her fingers to my forehead, gentle as blessing. Sleep, she said. The crystal in my palm went cold again. The vision snapped away. I gasped,
tasting iron, for real this time.
From where I had bitten my tongue, Elar's eyes shone.
There, he whispered, you chose it, you asked for the cut. My hands shook violently. I did it, I said, voice small. I gave it away.
Yes, Elar said, almost kind. And now you want revenge.
I looked down at my diary, at the pages that had tried to fade. My revenge had been aimed outward, at drakes and shadows, but the central wound was not only theft, it was my own hand opening.
No, I said, and my voice hardened. I want revenge that fits the truth.
Elar's smile faltered. Truth is messy. Then I'll bleed in the mess, I said, but I won't let Mivra make me thank her for it.
Somewhere above, a memory drake chimed, faint through the wood and water, like a bell for the dead part of me I had traded away.
Chapter 7. Vel's knife and Nivra's smile. Vel waited in my room, as if she had been there all night, though I knew she had not. She sat on the edge of my cot, elbows on her knees, knife in hand, not raised, just present, like a thought she could not set down. Her eyes snapped to mine.
You went to the vault, she said.
I did, I replied. My voice sounded older now, scraped raw by the echo memory. And I remember enough to know you lied to me.
Vel's jaw tightened.
About what?
About my pages, I said, and tapped the diary.
Slinkroot said I asked for my missing time to be hidden in pages.
You knew.
Vel's grip on the knife shifted.
I helped hide them, she admitted. Each word dragged out, like a thorn pulled from skin.
Not to hurt you, to keep you breathing.
From Nivra, I said.
Vel's eyes flashed. Nivra's agents started pruning witnesses, quietly. People who asked the wrong questions woke up smiling and empty. I saw it.
Her voice cracked on the last word, and she hated herself for it.
I sat across from her, the diary between us like a third person.
So you decided I should stay ignorant, I said.
I decided you should stay alive, Vel snapped back.
Then softer, you were already half hers. I didn't know how to pull you back without losing you.
My throat burned.
You could have told me.
And you could have listened, she shot back.
But you wanted answers so badly you walked into her chamber like a pilgrim.
The truth stung because it fit. A knock came, polite and inevitable. Before either of us could move, the door opened. Nivra entered as if my home belonged to her, bringing two attendants who stayed in the doorway like brackets.
Vel, Nivra said warmly, as if greeting an old friend.
How loyal you are.
Vel stood, knife still in hand.
How kind you are, she replied flatly.
Nivra's gaze slid to my diary. And you, she said to me. How restless.
I know what I traded, I said.
My voice shook, but I held her eyes.
I know you took what I offered.
Nivra's smile did not change.
You offered because you wanted to be strong. I wanted to hurt you, I said.
Nivra's eyes gleamed.
Honesty, finally.
She stepped closer, and the room felt smaller.
Then let us be honest together. I can return what you lost. Not all at once, of course.
Flooding the mind is cruel, but enough.
Fragments.
And the price, I said, because I had learned that question.
Nivra's hand lifted, and one attendant brought forward a small pouch that chimed softly.
Echo crystals.
My stomach turned.
A simple service, Nivra said. Become my quiet collector. There is an innocent mind that has been inconveniently full.
Empty it, and I will give you your missing hours back.
Vel's knife rose a fraction.
No, she said, voice low.
Nivra looked at her, amused.
You do not get to refuse for him.
I stared at the pouch. I imagined someone waking with a hole like mine, tasting fear.
Holding a blank page that would not stay blank.
My hands curled into fists.
Nivra's voice softened, almost motherly.
You know how easy it is, she whispered.
How clean.
No blood,
no screams.
Just quiet.
Vel's eyes pleaded with me, furious and afraid.
Nivra leaned in, her smile a blade wrapped in silk.
Say yes, she said,
and you will be whole again. I swallowed, tasting ash. If I say no? Nivra's gaze sharpened. Then you will stay broken, she said, and the mire will rewrite you. It always does. When she left, the room felt colder, as if her warmth had been borrowed and taken back.
Vel's knife lowered. Her voice was hoarse. What will you do?
I opened my diary and wrote one line, slow and certain, watching the ink until it settled dark. I will not let her make me cruel in her name. Then I looked up at Vel. I'm going to the fog line, I said. And I need you to trust me. Vel's laugh was bitter. Trust is a luxury in Hollowroot. Then lend it to me anyway, I said.
Chapter 8. The Duskworm's Breath, the Drake's Mercy. Nivra's chosen victim was a young courier named Tam, a boy who ran messages between stilt homes and thought Nivra's circle was a garden, not a trap. Nivra had picked him because he was bright-eyed and unguarded, and because no one would miss a day of his thoughts until it was too late. I found him near the lantern posts, clutching a satchel to his chest. The floodwater leapt higher than it had yesterday, tapping the posts like impatient fingers. When he saw me, relief flooded his face. "You're the one Nivra sent?" he asked. "She said you'd help me leave, that there's danger."
"There is," I said, and the word tasted like poison.
"Come with me, quietly."
Vel followed at a distance, hood up, moving like a shadow that had decided to protect instead of kill. I did not look at her too often. If I did, I might break. We led Tam along the plankways and off into the bramble fog, to the place where Nivra's attendants would be waiting with their echo crystals and soft voices. The fog thickened, and Tam shivered.
"I don't like this," he whispered.
"It feels like something's breathing on my neck."
"It is," Vel muttered under her breath, just loud enough for me to hear.
At the fog line, the air turned colder. A duskworm's presence pressed against the reeds. I did not see it, not fully, only the suggestion of a long body coiled in mist and eyes that reflected lantern light like distant stars. Tam grabbed my sleeve.
"What is that?"
"Do not run," I told him quickly. "Running makes the fog chase you." He stared at me, terrified.
"Why did we come here?"
"Because I was supposed to hand you over," I thought. "Because cruelty is easy when it's called duty." Footsteps sounded ahead. Nivra emerged from the fog as if it had been waiting to become her cloak. Two attendants flanked her, both carrying the chiming pouch. Nivra's smile was bright. "There you are," she said, as if we were friends meeting for a stroll. Her gaze flicked to Tam. "And you brought him? How responsible." Tam's eyes widened.
"Mistcaller?"
Nivra's voice turned honeyed. "Hush, little courier. You have served Hollowroot well. Now you will serve in a quieter way." My stomach lurched. I stepped between Nivra and Tam.
"No," I said. Nivra's
smile did not falter.
"Yes," she corrected gently.
"You agreed."
"I said I would try," I said, voice shaking. "And I tried. I tried to be the person you trained. It made me sick."
Nivra's eyes narrowed, just slightly. "Do it," she said, the softness slipping, "or remain broken." The duskworm exhaled, mist rolled across our ankles, and suddenly every shadow in the fog looked like Nivra's hand reaching.
Tam whimpered. Vel's knife flashed into view, not aimed at Nivra, but held ready, as if she did not trust herself.
Then a chiming cut through the tension, clear and bright. A memory drake swooped low, landing on a reed-bent branch above us. Its echo crystals rang like small bells. It turned its pale eyes on me, then on Nivra, and clicked its jaw. Sounds spilled from the crystals. My voice recorded, steady with a certainty I had forgotten I could own.
"If you are hearing this," the echo said, "it means I tried to trade my mercy away. Do not let me. Do not let her."
Nivra froze. For the first time, her smile cracked. The drake clicked again, and the echo continued, my words sharpened by past resolve.
"Nivra, you taught me to obey. Now hear me refuse."
The fog seemed to hold its breath. Even the duskworm's mist paused, suspended. Nivra's eyes flashed with anger, then something like fear. Silence that creature, she snapped to her attendants. But the drake only chimed louder, reflecting my refusal back at her like a mirror she could not turn away from. I looked at Tam, at his trembling hands. I stepped back and took his shoulder. Go, I whispered. Follow Vel, do not look back. Vel grabbed him and pulled him into the fog, moving fast and sure. Nivra's gaze locked on me. You think this is victory? She hissed. No, I said, and my voice steadied. This is me choosing what kind of broken I will be. Above us, the memory drake's crystals rang softly, not triumphant.
Chapter 9. A revenge that fits in one hand. I did not try to destroy Nivra. Not because she didn't deserve it, but because Hollowroot would only grow another Nivra from the rot if I burned her down. The mire loves a vacuum. It fills it with teeth. My revenge had to fit in one hand, small enough to be carried, sharp enough to matter. 2 nights after the fog line, I returned to Nivra's chamber beneath the black flower sigil, not as a pilgrim, but as a thief. Vel came with me, silent, her knife sheathed but ready. I hate this, she whispered, as we crouched beneath the beams. I hate sneaking like we're guilty. We are guilty, I murmured, just not of what she says. Nivra's attendants dozed near the lantern fungus, lulled by the swamp's constant song. Their faces were slack, their hands still curled around pouches of echo crystals, as if even in sleep they feared losing their grip. Vel touched my arm. Pages, she mouthed. I nodded. My ledger pages were here, the ones I had written in my missing hours, the ones Nivra had pruned from my diary and hidden like contraband. I could feel them, as if ink called to ink. We found them in a lacquered box under Nivra's dais, wrapped in oilcloth. My hands shook as I unrolled them. My own handwriting stared up at me, furious and precise. She will ask you to empty someone else. Do not. If you forget, read this and remember who you were before you were useful. I swallowed a sob. I wrote to myself, I whispered. Vel's eyes shone in the dim light. You were trying, she said, voice rough. Even then. Footsteps sounded behind us. Nivra's voice slid into the chamber like a blade into water. How touching. We turned. Nivra stood in the doorway, alone. No attendants, no pouch. Just her and that terrible, practiced calm. You could have run, she said. You chose to return. I chose to take what's mine, I replied, clutching the pages to my chest. Nivra's gaze flicked to Vel. And you chose to stand with him, she said, mildest conversation. After all your fear. Vel's hand hovered near her knife. Fear doesn't own me, she said. Not anymore. Nivra's smile tightened. It always does. I stepped forward, not to strike her, but to speak where her attendants could hear. They were waking now, blinking, listening. You told me you could make me whole, I said loudly. You told me the mire rewrites us, and only you can hold the pen. But you're just another hand stealing pages. Nivra's eyes flashed. Careful. I held up the oilcloth-wrapped ledger pages. Ask her why she hides witnesses, I said to the attendants. Ask her why memory drakes circle when she is concerned. Ask her what she does with the hours she takes. Murmurs rose, small but dangerous. Suspicion in Hollowroot is a slow poison. It does not kill fast, but it weakens the mighty. Nivra's smile returned. Thinner now. You think this will topple me? I think it will narrow you. Her eyes locked on mine, and for a moment I felt the old net, the pull to obey. Then my fingers tightened on my diary, my anchor. I had learned the simplest defense in the mire. Keep her own words close, and keep watching them. Nivra's voice softened, almost regretful. You will still have fragments, she said. Never the full day,
never the full love. You traded it.
I know, I whispered. That's my punishment, not yours. I turned and left with Vel at my side, ledger pages pressed to my heart like a shield made of paper. Outside, the swamp air wrapped around us. A memory drake chimed from somewhere in the dark, and the sound tugged at the hole in my mind.
Memories returned in shards. Nivra's hand on my shoulder. My own voice saying yes, the driftbone crescent at a throat I could not fully see, but could still feel.
I did not collapse. I did not chase the shards until they cut me raw. Back in my room, I stitched the stolen pages into my diary with reed thread, each puncture a promise.
Vel watched, arms folded as if guarding me from myself.
What now? She asked.
Now I live with what I did, I said, and my voice steadied as the ink flowed. And I keep writing, so the mire cannot rewrite me again.
Vel exhaled, slow. A revenge that fits in one hand, she murmured. I closed the diary. The page did not fade. Not this time. If you are reading this in another season, when the flood has shifted and Hollow Root pretends it never happened, know this. I wrote until my hand cramped and my eyes burned, because ink is the only chain I trust. If my words have survived the mire's thirst, then someone carried them. Someone opened this ledger and let the story breathe again. Do not thank me. Just remember.
You have been listening to A Tale of Alarion, part of StoryOmniverse.com. May its echoes linger until the next legend is told.